Good morning. So this morning we're going to be reading from Proverbs. I got this sheet here just to remind me so I don't forget. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 to 33, and that will be page 616 in your pew Bibles. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, They will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke. 33. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And the second place we're going to read from is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 to 10, and that is page 623. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Thank you, Riley. As you know, we're going through the book of Proverbs. We've only really just started. And it's a book about wisdom and folly. And as the title of the whole series is Skills for Living, because the word wisdom in the book of Proverbs has the idea of skill for living. And the Proverbs are for us a whole plethora of different little sayings that have great truth and wisdom in them. And so we are looking today at, Pathway of a Fool. And as we do so, just a little bit of an intro, because there are visitors here who weren't here a couple of weeks ago and last week, just to introduce the book a little bit. The Proverbs are little pithy sayings that are memorable sound bites that you can take with you through the day and think about and can impact your life. They're full of wisdom. And it's not just back then. Today you have African proverbs and Chinese proverbs and so on. Different people have their little sayings. And I just heard, Mark read it out to me from a devotional book yesterday, saying, prepare a child for the path, not the path for the child. See, it's a little saying, that's a modern one, it's not from the book of Proverbs, but you prepare your child for the path ahead. If you make the pathway ahead smooth your child won't be learning skills to navigate life. And so it's in a little pithy saying, so there's modern day Proverbs as well. It examines in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, especially, these proverbs examine human behavior and provide or show two pathways, the path of wisdom and the path of folly or foolishness. And so today we're looking at the pathway of a fool. We looked at wisdom and where it comes from last week. Now, about being a fool or not being a fool. Despite thousands of years between the time when these were written and today, they are still so relevant for us. They're timeless because people don't change, and wisdom is wisdom no matter who says it or when it was said. And the other thing is that wisdom in the book of Proverbs is tied very strongly. It's married to righteousness. And so is foolishness married to willful sinfulness and a unwillingness to live God's way. That is why the key verse for the whole book is the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation for wisdom. Fear of the Lord, seeking to please God and live for Him and live a life that He is pleased with, is that attitude is the foundation for a wise life. Now, Solomon wrote these proverbs, most of them, and he wrote because his son, he had a number, but his son Rehoboam ended up being quite a fool, as we'll see. But he says through the whole book of Proverbs, 26 times he says, "My son, my son, my son." And so Solomon was writing to his son as Solomon himself had learned. So if you find in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, you find Solomon himself talking about when he was a little boy. He said, "When I was a boy in my father's house," who was David, King David, of course, "I was still tender and the only only child of my mother. And he, my father, taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments when you live, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words and swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding.'" And that seems as if Solomon took his father's advice, because when then he assumed the throne and he was coronated and he was the king of over the whole of Israel, God gave him an offer. He said, "Ask me whatever you want." And you remember King Solomon said? He said, "Give me wisdom. Give me a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." And that's what God did, but he also blessed him with so many other things as well. And so Solomon was a very wise man, a good leader, and the nation prospered under him. It was the glorious peak of the kingdom of Israel when Solomon was king. But in the middle of his years, he turned away from God and became foolish in his decisions. He compromised his faith and his convictions, and he intermarried with people from other religious beliefs and began adopting idolatry into his house and started a whole negative effect through the whole kingdom. And his son turned out to be a fool. Hence, he writes this letter. I believe that was a motivating factor for this wise man Solomon later in life, when he looks back on his life and realizes his mess-ups, but also looking at his son, he says, "All right, I'm going to write these proverbs down for my son and for under God's sovereignty for all." Rehoboam, his son, was 41 years old when he began to reign, and for 17 years he reigned in Jerusalem, and then he died. After Solomon's death, the people who were taxed heavily by King Solomon, they came to Rehoboam under the leadership of a man called Jeroboam, and they said, "We don't want to be taxed so heavily by you, just like your father did. And they promised their loyalty to Rehoboam if he would reduce the load of tax on them. And so here was the new king, the son of Solomon, sitting on the throne, and he had to make a decision. Now his older men, the older men in the court, Solomon's advisors, they said, if you'll be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But some of the young bucks in the court, his mates, his young friends, they said to him, don't listen to that. You just be the king. You know, you just lay down the law. You're the boss. You can do what you like, so do it. And you know what? The new king proclaimed to the people, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. And as a result of that foolish decision, the nation broke apart, and 10 tribes separated, and it left just a very small kingdom in Judah of the two tribes that King Rehoboam reigned over. And from then on, it was just dissension and fighting and wars, and they were weak because they were divided and easy prey to neighboring nations. See, Solomon was writing to a man he knew, his son, who was now in his mid-years, coming up into his mid-years, and he was saying, I want you to learn wisdom. Solomon begins by saying in verse 8, my son, listen. And he repeated this all the way through. Then in verse 20 he says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. And you have a picture here in chapter 1, as we had read to us, of wisdom as a woman. It's a personification of wisdom. It is not a person that he is writing about, not an individual, nor is it God, although God is wise. It is the personification of wisdom. It's as if wisdom is speaking. You could use it as an illustration, justice. That if justice speaks, justice says, that's the law, you've broken the law, so that's the consequence. And that's what justice says. Justice is not merciful, because justice is justice. God is just, but God is also merciful. God is wise, but God is also gracious. And so this is not talking about God, it's talking about wisdom. And wisdom says to his son, to Solomon's son, and to us today, he's crying out, she is crying out, not just to us, but to everybody in the marketplace, at the corner of the main thoroughfares. Wisdom is crying out, calling out, saying, listen to me. What was Solomon saying through this picture of wisdom being a woman, the personification of wisdom in a woman? He was saying, first of all, there's 2 points here. The folly of ignoring wisdom's counsel. And if you like, sounds ridiculous, but the foolishness of being a fool. It's stupid to be a fool. So listen. And he uses 3 words. Oh, by the way, fool in the Bible is nothing to do with mental deficiency, or, you know, you can't understand that line of poetry, so you're a fool. No, it's not saying that you're mentally deficient, or that you can't do that equation or math, that therefore you're a fool. It's nothing to do with intellectual ability. It's to do with the will and the heart and the mind of a person. And 3 words are used by Solomon. He talks about, in verse 22, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? And so the 3 words we're going to look briefly at. First of all, the simple. The simple are inexperienced youth, easily led, gullible, even naive. And you can't help it. If, when I was a young guy, I hope I've learned some wisdom along the way, but I remember as a young kid, I'd do stupid things. We were living in Brisbane, and we were living right on the edge of town, and there was bush just nearby, and nearby to our church. We call it bush. It's forest, or, yeah, we could just go out in the bush. Yeah. Anyway, I said to Dad after church one day, "Oh, I saw a rattlesnake." Well, of course, there's no rattlesnakes in Australia. You don't have rattlesnakes. You have other snakes, but you don't have rattlesnakes. And he said, "No, you didn't." I said, "Yes, I did. I heard it rattle." And I was lying, of course. I don't know why I said it. I just wanted some, I don't know, think I was great or something. I was a young, but I mean, as a young kid, you don't think about things. You just say it or you do it and you don't listen to advice and you're naive and you learn along the way that you think before you speak and so on. And so a simple person is an inexperienced, easily led, gullible, naive person. And it says in Proverbs 14, verse 25, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." They're not wise, but they're on the pathway and can choose to be wise. When they're corrected and learn from that, they grow in wisdom. But if they're not, then they will not grow in wisdom. And it's like the Bible says in Proverbs that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from that young person. So, in other words, a parent's decision to discipline a child, to teach that child wisdom, helps that child to move from a foolishness that's bound up in the heart of a child to a wise pathway in life. So the first one is simple. The second one, the word that's used, is the word fool. The word fool, which is the one that's used most in the book of Proverbs, is a word that means three things, that indicates three things that we find in the book of Proverbs that help us to understand what is meant behind the word fool. First of all, it's someone who refuses to listen or take advice. Now, I mean, you can be an old person and be a fool. Some people just will not take advice. And we dip in and out of that a bit, some more than others. But as according to God's word, that is being a fool. In verse 24 and 25, "You refuse to listen when I call. You disregard all my advice and you do not accept my rebuke." It's talking about being obstinate, about being stubborn, about no desire to change, headstrong even. Remember the man Nabal? David came across this man Nabal, and the word Nabal means fool, so he's well named. And the thing about him was, he actually ended up dying, and David married his widower, Abigail. And get it right. Anyway, it says of Nabal that one cannot speak to him. In other words, he just would not listen. If he's going down a pathway that's going to end in disaster, and people say, "Don't do that," he will not listen. And three times in the book of Proverbs, the word translated fool in our English is the word Nabal. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." The wise person listens to what others say. In Proverbs 9, verses 7 to 9, we had read to us, "Whoever corrects a mocker invites an insult. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still." See the difference. And all that we might be wise in life and teach our children and our grandchildren to be wise, to listen. And help them to see that when they don't listen, what's the end consequences of that? And help them to see that when they make wise decisions, it's actually going to be the best for them. The second thing about this word fool is that it as we see it in this book, we find that the word is tied to this, that a fool refuses to accept discipline. So it's not just not listening, that when they're rebuked, verses 25 and 30 in the passage we have before us, you would not accept my rebuke. In verse 5 of chapter 15, we read, the fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. And in chapter 17, verse 10, a rebuke strikes deeper into a discerning person than 100 blows into a fool. Hear that? Isn't that good? It's chapter 17, verse 10. A rebuke strikes deeper into a discerning person, just a rebuke, just a word, than 100 blows to a fool. And the third thing about the word, the way the word is used in this book is that a fool is someone who rejects the fear of the Lord. As I said earlier, it's tied very closely to a person's righteous living or willful, sinful life. It says in verse 29, did not choose to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in verse 7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They count it as irrelevant and not important. They despise it. They think nothing of it, think little of it. In Proverbs 22, verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from that person, as I had quoted earlier. And then we'll come back to the three words that we were looking at, the simple, the fool, and now the mocker. A mocker is another step further down the pathway. A simple person, they're naive, they might make foolish decisions, but they're still on a learning curve, hopefully. The fool is pretty well set in their ways, but a mocker is somebody who has an attitude, a fool with attitude, has a bad influence on others, has a deliberate bent on troublemaking. And so you find in chapter 21, verse 24, the proud and arrogant person, the mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Well, then mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. So those are the three words used, and we find that folly is ignoring wisdom's counsel, and that describes the fool. But the next thing that this lady, Wisdom, says is not just about being foolish, but the fixed consequences of ignoring wisdom's counsel. And I wonder whether you got taken aback when you had that read to you. Remember in verse 20 when Riley was reading and he read, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm and disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me and I will not answer. They will look for me, but I'll not be found. That doesn't seem right. You know, God's not like that. I know God's the God of love. Why would this be in the Word of God as something to be believed and trusted and understood? It's because it's Lady Wisdom speaking. As I said earlier, it's like injustice to justice. When you look at justice, then when somebody breaks the law, irrespective of mercy and grace and everything, justice says, I demand that there be a punishment or that be the consequences of that. And so with wisdom is saying that when you disregard what she says, if you disregard all the wisdom of this book, basically, then you're going to have consequences. And those consequences are summed up in the word disaster. Marg often used to say this to our kids when they were teenagers, and I've quoted it before from here, but she used to say and still says, "You are free to choose to do whatever you want, but you're not free to choose the consequences." And I can walk out here and I can get a baseball bat and go out on the street and bash into a car that's driving past or something, and I'm free to do that. No one's going to stop me. Maybe some will try when they understand what my intent is. But I tell you what, I'm not going to avoid the consequences. I'm free to choose to do whatever I want. But I don't know why I chose that illustration. Maybe it's because somebody tried to do that to me once. Anyway. And the whole first 9 chapters of this book, which is not getting into the Proverbs, it's more motivation to move a young man and a young woman towards wisdom and a wisdom lifestyle and pathway through life, shows disaster after disaster when people reject the way of wisdom. The stories in here of somebody getting caught up with adultery and someone getting caught up with wickedness and saying things they shouldn't and so on. And as you read through these first 9 chapters, there's story after story of the consequences that come to a person who rejects God's way. Let me read one to you. Adultery, it says, "At the end of your life, you will groan, and when your flesh and body are spent, you will say, 'How I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction,' and so on." You can read it for yourself and see that the book of Proverbs is written by a man who is motivated to get his son to choose the wise way in life, not the pathway of a fool. All right. So the consequences are basically that, it says here in verse 26 to 28, calamity, disaster, distress, and trouble. Wisdom will laugh because I told you so. Why didn't you listen? Now you're in trouble. And wisdom says, "You didn't listen. It's your fault." Wisdom gives no ground to folly. But, praise God, God is not just wisdom. You know, that one of the great things about God is every attribute of God is wonderful. But if you take one by itself and leave the others aside, you don't have the God of the Bible. So you take God's righteousness and holiness. You take God's wisdom. You take God's love. If you take God's love and forget the rest, then God will accept anything. You can do whatever you like. He'll still love you. Yes, he does. And you can get away with it because, hey, God's a God of love. No, God is also a holy God. God is also a wise God. And God is a God of justice. You can't separate the attributes of God and say, "He is this and he is that, but he's not that." He is everything that he's shown to be. And so if wisdom was alone, if God was just wisdom alone, then he would laugh at our folly and he would let it happen and couldn't do anything about it. He wouldn't want to, because he's just wisdom if that's the case. But he's not. He's a God of wisdom and he's a God of grace. And therefore, even when we do foolish things and we make choices or decisions that are foolish, he is there to love us and to call us back to himself, to forgive us. He is a God of wisdom, grace, truth, righteousness, and justice, and everything else that we know about God. And he also says here in verse 31, or she says, that wisdom, Lady Wisdom says, that there is fruit, there is reaping what you sow. And even that is brought out in the New Testament. Whatsoever a man or woman sows, that shall they also reap. If you sow to your flesh, if you make unwise decisions and sow to your sinful nature and make choices that are just to satisfy your fleshly sinful nature, then you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you live your life to allow the Spirit of God to guide you and help you to make those wise decisions, you'll reap life. New Testament, Old Testament, saying the same thing. And Proverbs 16:22, that folly brings punishment to fools. Verse 6 of chapter 18, the lips of fools bring them strife. In the end of in chapter 9, the end of this first section of the book, which we're leaving next week, and we'll start looking at chapters 10 on, where all the Proverbs are. But right at the end of this, you'll find that Lady Wisdom steps up again and starts speaking in verses 1 to 6. She says, "Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight." She's out there again in the street saying, "Hey, listen to me. Choose the way of wisdom." But then you find at the end of this chapter, very interestingly, that now you have Lady Folly. Verse 13 in chapter 9 says, "The woman Folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the floor of her house, the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, 'Let all who are simple come in here.'" Come on. "Hey, I'll give you a good time," she says. "Stolen water is sweet. You'll enjoy it. Doesn't matter that it's stolen, but hey, it's sweet. You'll love it. It'll satisfy your selfish desires. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Hey, you do things in secret? Hey, that's fun. That's exciting. Hey, this is the way to go." And so you have Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, both calling out to those who are walking, "Choose your pathway. Which one will you listen to?" You know, when Jesus called someone a fool, and he did it once, Jesus spoke of a person who did well in business. In fact, so well, they expanded the business and built bigger barns. And he said, "Hey, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." He didn't say, "For tomorrow I die," but he said, "I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to have fun. I'll kick back and go to Florida and live there and in a suite that looks out across the ocean. And I'm just going to enjoy life because I've made it." And Jesus said, "You fool! Tonight your soul is required of you. And whose will these things be then? You fool." He was a fool because he made a choice without bringing eternity into view. He lived in the light of this life only and forgot the words of Jesus when he said, "What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul?" If I gain everything, if I have so much money, I don't know what to do with it. If I've got all the pleasures of life and I just do what I want to do, and hey, who cares? I can do it because I've got the money, I've got the whatever. You know what? If I die and have lived that life right through to over 100 years of age and my whole life was full of pleasure and plenty, if I die and I go to a lost eternity without Christ, without God, without life, separated from God forever, still cognizant, still able to experience life because we live on. Our bodies fall to the ground, but we live on for eternity. Forever and ever without life without God. What does it profit? You'd be a fool to have everything in this life and have nothing for the next. Better to have nothing in this life and have the next. And many Christians in places like Syria are dying because they have an eternal future. No one turned from the truth. They'd rather die because they know the truth and they have an eternal future. Don't let God call you a fool. Choose the way of wisdom. Listen to what God says in His Word and follow it. Wisdom or folly is a choice. Which will you seek? Which pathway will you choose? Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, there's a bit of foolishness in all of us. Father, we must admit that we so easily can resist the truth and resist your way and the fear of the Lord, which is the foundation for a life of wisdom, avoids us. We avoid that and we just choose to live the way we want to live. And we pray that you will help us to re-correct our pathway, to turn from a pathway of folly to follow your way, which is the way of wisdom. Help us to know how to interpret that in life. Help us to know how today and tomorrow and through this week we can live a life of wisdom, that we can live a life that is turning from the path of folly, of not listening, of not even accepting your discipline in our lives, but going the way we want. Help us, Lord, to turn from that. Give us the grace and the power to do that, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.